What a blessing to be back in the Lord's house this evening. Y'all look around just a minute. I'm going to bring a statistic to your calling. And look around just a minute. Statistically proven, the first service after Easter is the least attended service of the entire year. It's statistically proven, and it's proved out here again tonight. I was doing a little research on that because tonight's message, if it were titled, it's entitled The First Service After Easter. How aptly titled to then bring that fact out. But John chapter number 20 tonight, where the Lord is our helper, we're going to bring you a message about the first meeting after Easter. And we do have many things to pray about tonight. The prayer rooms are always just racked with prayer requests. Miss Margaret's mother was in need of prayer. Brother Greg Wingler's mother's in the hospital this evening. And then we've got just a whole host of others that are connected to the church that stand in need of prayer. If you look right in front of where Ken and Jean are sitting tonight, we don't have Sterley and Jan. Sterley's had this mess that's been going around, so you pray for her. You know, a lady at her age, it's hard on them to bounce back from that. It's so blessed to see my wife back again this evening. She come in for the worship service on Sunday, but continue praying for her. She's finally about to wrap up her antibiotics and all that mess, but she's not contagious, so don't treat her like she's got the bubonic plague, but do pray for her, I ask you, please. Don't forget to sit and shut in like Brother Woody and Miss Cletha. Miss Ray, Miss May, all those that we generally pray for, not mean leaving anybody out like Miss Sue or Miss Ruth, but y'all know who needs to be prayed for, so let's just remember them. Y'all pray for my voice tonight. Somebody asked me, I believe it's Laura asked me, so you going to cough all night? I hope not to, but if we do, we'll just cough and y'all just go along with it. I don't know what it'll be, but anyway. It is good to be back in the Lord's house. I'm going to go ahead and get you to stand and give reverence to reading of God's Word tonight. Oh, before I get started with this, let me just get a show of hands tonight. Y'all know Brother Jamie Smithy and his family. They're missionaries to Santiago, Chile. And they're called to preach and licensed and commissioned and sent out from Cherry Grove Baptist Church. Now, Jamie's daughter's needing surgery, and they have no insurance, and they have to prepay the surgery up front. And the surgery's $8,000, and they've reached out to a few of the churches. We don't support the Smithies as a regular mission support, but I talked to the deacons tonight, and they would like to get on board and help with this. There's only a few churches that's been asked to help, but the deacons suggest that we send them $1,000, and I'm asking you folks, if you will, to commit $1,000 to the Jamie Smithy family for their medical expenses for the surgery for their daughter. If you ever slip your hand right up. I appreciate you doing that. I'll get a check over to Cherry Grove and get that down to Chile so that she can have this surgery that she needs. It's difficult when you're in a strange land and you don't have insurance. You have to pay this stuff up front. I was reminded by Brother Jody or some of them in the deacons meeting that we had that we were, maybe Brother Teddy, we paid for a little girl surgery in the Honduras one time, paid the whole surgery for. And church, that means something. And I believe it'll mean something in the eyes of the Lord as well. But thank you for doing that tonight. If we're in the book of John in chapter number 20, you can see the resurrection in the first part of that chapter. We're going to the first meeting after Easter. And that's what this is going to be. Easter is the day that we celebrate the resurrected Savior. And the first meeting beyond Easter for them was right here in this chapter. And our first meeting beyond Easter is right here tonight. And like I said, statistically proven. And it's not just because people get lazy. Although, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever come to church when you honestly just did not feel like coming? Raise your hand. Look at us. That's all of us. You were sick. You felt bad. You've had a hard day. You just didn't feel like going tonight. Now, how many of you have stayed home when you could have went? I see hands shooting up already. How many of you stayed home when you know good and well you could have went and there wasn't nothing wrong with you? You just laid out tonight. We've all been there as well. Now, this service tonight is probably the same thing. You got some that couldn't come. Some that could have come that didn't come. And you're going to see that just a little bit in this tonight. But it's because Easter is historically centered around a time of spring break. You've got people going here, they're going there, they're traveling. There's just people going everywhere. And with the kids being out of school a lot of times around Easter, the spring break's in effect. And that's the first time they've had since Christmas to get them out of the house. And, you know, they're on the road. And that's why church attendance historically has been, this is the low point in the year as far as church attendance. But listen, don't let the low attendance sidetrack you. God's just as big when there's three or four of us here than there is when there's 300 of us. So tonight we're mostly looking at Thomas. Most people know Thomas for one reason. Why? Because of his doubt. Talking to my wife coming up the road, I never really tell her what we're preaching about, but I like to involve a conversation. And I talked to her about doubt and faith. And you know, faith is born out of doubt. Faith is birthed in the birth canal of doubt. And you'll see that tonight. We look at Thomas, but Thomas was a man of faith, a great faith. And you'll see that when I go back and bring his character into light. You don't know a lot about Thomas. We don't see him charging hills and going up here and doing all the things that a lot of the other disciples did. We don't see him in Gethsemane's garden. We don't see him at Golgotha, except that he's a mention here after the fact. We don't see Thomas in a lot of places like we do James and John or Peter, but yet Thomas was a warrior for Christ. He was a steadfast disciple. He was always about God's business. And you're going to see that. You say, well, I just know him as he was a doubter. Well, don't get too hung up on that, because we're going to bring some other things into light here just a little bit. John chapter number 20. And then in verse number 19, you could go right there where Jesus had just said that, you know, he speaks the words, Mary, and she said, my master, Rabboni, which is to say my master. And just beyond that, the Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them. Peace be unto you. And when he had said so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So there's your first meeting beyond the resurrection. This is the first meeting beyond Easter. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see that in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, when his disciples were within, Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed. Brother Archie, ask God to bless us, my friend.
We pray, dear God, that you bless our pastor. We thank you, dear God, for this man of God. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we'll always look to thee for leads and guidance.
Amen. Last week, if you'll remember, I preached a message on what you miss when you miss. And I preached about the things that go on. Whenever you're not here, the service still goes on. Just the same as it is whenever you are here, the service is going on. And then when you're not here, it's going on just like it is. But I'll talk just for a minute before I get into the message. How many of you ever showed up maybe a little bit late for an event? I myself, I like to be early. It don't always work out that way. But some of you, it seemed like you just always running just a little bit late. And some of you run a whole lot late. And I understand that sometimes, especially when you've got a bunch of children to get ready or something, time can get away from you. And as it gets away from you. You just kind of have to do the best you can. You get along with what you can and you do what you can. But have you ever noticed that a lot of times when you come in late, you come in on the back end of something, and maybe you're sitting there scratching your head thinking, what did I miss? Or what went on while I was not there? Well, can you imagine for a moment, here we are, this is, the Bible said that it was the same evening, look what it said in verse number 19, on the same day at evening, the Bible said they were all met there with the doors being shut, the disciples, there was 10 of them there, you know Judas wasn't with them, Judas done gone out and hung himself, and now Thomas is not with them, so you got the other 10 disciples, and they're in there, and then all of a sudden, right in the midst of all that, the Lord shows up, and He speaks peace unto them, and He tells them that He's going to give them peace, leave with them peace, and He said, not only that, He said, but bless God, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit in the latter part of verse number 22. So here it is, these 10 are gathered together, and they're getting some divine word from Almighty God. This is Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the resurrected Savior now is standing in the midst of them and talking to them. What a blessing that must have been. But on the same hand, there was one missing. There was Thomas that was not there. And then the next time, being a full week later, because the Bible said, damn, I believe it to be verse number 29, if I'm thinking right, maybe 28, 29. It was actually 26. Verse number 26 said, and after 8 days again. So you had the first day, and then, Brother Kenny, you got a full week later, and those disciples are yet meeting again, as they did on the same evening of the resurrection. And Brother Derek, but this time, somebody else is with them. Can you imagine the conversations that were going on among those other 10, Brother Tam? And Thomas is coming in and he's thinking to himself, these 10 men are talking about that they have seen the Savior, and I was there when they crucified Him. I saw what was going on, or I know what went on back on the hill called Golgotha. But all of a sudden, the conversations start turning around Thomas. Thomas, where'd you go during this time frame? Why were you absent? And Brother Derek, we could beat each other up saying, where was you at, buddy? You should have been here. And if you'd have been here, you'd have got this, or you'd have been blessed. And that could be said of any one of us, because I promise you, every service has got something for everybody. And if you were here, you would have got the blessing. But don't think that just because somebody's not here that they missed something that was meant for them. Oh, they might have, Brother Derek, but that's not for you to determine. I've heard people say, boy, if they'd have been here, they'd have sure got it. Bless God, I wasn't preaching to the ones that were not here. I was preaching to the ones that were here. If Thomas had been there, he would have seen the resurrected Savior for himself, and he too could have been become a quick believer. But I just wonder what had filled Thomas's heart on the day of the crucifixion, between that time and the resurrection, and between the resurrection and that first evening, the same day, the same evening, Thomas is missing in action. Was he grief-stricken? And how many of us have not been grief-stricken over something? Maybe he was just discouraged because he had seen what had took place. Maybe he was in fear for his life. I think these were in fear because you're going to see them hiding out there. To me, it looks like they're in hiding in the upper room. They're all hid out. But what was it that kept Thomas from being with the others? Did he have something against any of them? Did they have something against him? Was there strife among the disciples? Was there something going on? Like I said, and there's no right or wrong answer because history doesn't record it. The Bible doesn't record it. So I'm just thinking in my mind, why do people miss, and why do people stay out, and what do they miss when they do miss? And we preached that message last week. So this one is primarily looking at the man by the name of Thomas, and I want you to see right now, we remember him as the doubting Thomas, the doubting disciple. And why was he filled with doubt, Brother Derek? Because he had seen what went on. They knew that the Prince of Peace had been killed. Even Cleopas and the other that had left Jerusalem, and they were making that journey back down toward Emmaus, and as they walked along that way, they were downtrodden. They were downcast. The Bible said their heads were hung and they were just down and out. And we read that scripture back over in the book of Luke in chapter 24. Brother, they were downhearted. And the Bible said the Lord enjoined himself to them, their eyes being holden that they did not know him. He enjoins himself to them and said, why are y'all walking along so sad? And I'll paraphrase that. And they said, have you not heard? Are you just a stranger in the land? And they said, what do you mean? What things? Concerning Jesus of Nazareth. They've crucified him back there. And anyway, the Lord just walks along and sups with them and talks with them. And then when he got toward one of them's house, the Bible said he made as if he would go a little bit further. But as he made as if he would go further, Brother Derek, the Bible said that they constrained
ordained him to come in. And then he broke bread with them. But I'm getting all that to say this. They were downtrodden. They were downhearted. They were discouraged. And all of a sudden, they met together, the 10 of them, but Thomas is not there. But whenever Thomas does show up, Thomas's heart is a disputing heart. He is a doubting heart. And he's wondering, what are y'all talking about? I know what went on back there. Just like Cleopas and the other said, are you just a stranger here? Do you not know what went on? This man was crucified and they took the very Prince of Peace away from us. We had all the hope that he would be the consolation, that he would be the redemption of Israel. And now they've taken his life. They've killed him. And just the same as Cleopas and any of the other disciples may have been discouraged or downhearted, I can only think that Thomas might have been the same way. But there was something else that filled Thomas's heart, and that was called doubt. How many of us, don't raise your hands. I had you do that earlier, but don't raise your hands on this. But how many times have you seen somebody show up at church? Brother Archie, that's the one we prayed for. That's the one we've been witnessing to. That's the one we've given gospel tracts to. That's the one that we had hope that would be here. And all of a sudden, I've shown up here, Brother Kenny, and here they are right in the middle of a service. And then we watch them, Brother Tam, as it were, a hand of God, plug them up and bring them up here. And some of us in our own minds, Miss Megan, will sit back and say, I wonder if that's real. How many of you are like that? I know it because I've been there myself. I've looked at them and I know their lifestyle and I know what some of their past intentions were. They're just trying to get somebody off of their back. They're trying to get somebody to leave them alone, trying to get somebody to quit handing them a gospel tract, trying to get somebody to quit knocking on their door. So what do? They come to the house of God. And when they get here, what do? They go up there because that's where everybody goes. And whenever they finally go up there, everybody seemingly leaves them alone. And then we never see them again. And when we don't see them again, what does that automatically lead you and myself and every one of us to wonder? Was it real? Did they really get saved? Did it stick? I bet they didn't really get saved. Brother Kenny, we see these tent meetings pop up. And you hear of 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 20,000 people getting saved. And a lot of them, that's all they want to do is trumpet the number. They just want to blast it out there. My God, we had 20 million saved last night. I'm okay if 20 million got saved. And that ain't for me to say that they didn't. But in my heart and in my mind, Brother Derek, I'm thinking, yeah, they didn't get saved. How many of you ever hear of Bible school? And Brother Kenny, right in the heart of the Bible school, toward the end of the week, toward the end of the service maybe, the preacher gets up and says, how many of you little kids want to go to heaven? Who doesn't want to go to heaven? Raise your hands if you want to go to heaven. Everybody raises their hand wanting to go to heaven. So what do? Y'all just close your head and bow your eyes, or bow your head and close your eyes and repeat this prayer of me. Father, forgive me, for I know I'm a sinner. And next thing you know, they say this little recitation back and forth. And Brother Kenny, at the end of the night, that man's got shouting right at Bojangles for the next month of Sunday, because he can go and say that 47 kids got saved by God's grace. But how many of us are sitting around with doubt? I am. I'm sitting around with doubt. Because if the Holy Spirit didn't come, they can recite all the pledges and prayers they choose. They can raise their hand or their arm falls off. But I'm sitting around in doubt. So then I wonder, am I any different than Thomas? Man, we're hard on Thomas. I'm hard on him. Because of his doubt. But I wonder in my own mind, should I not be more like him? And by the time I get through with this service tonight, I'm hoping you can say, man, I need to be more like him. You know who we're more like than anybody? We're more like Peter. We're spontaneous. We say what comes off of our mind, the rot off of our tongue. I mean, we just spit it right out there. Tam, we're the one that quick to jerk out our sword and cut Steve's ear off. That's what Malchus got. Peter jerked it out and sliced his ear off. The Lord put the thing back on there for him. It was Simon Peter that whenever the Lord would come here and a little bit later, Chris, it was Simon Peter that went back to fishing. That what was going on, what was so unique about Simon Peter while he was fishing that everybody else in the boat was like, and why did the scripture record it? What was it? Somebody spit it out there. Huh? No, not then, Steve. No, wrong. No, 21, look in your Bibles, in 21, we're too much like Simon Peter. We want to run around naked. Did y'all hear who said that? Gene, you run around naked? Oh, you said, Simon Peter, therefore, his disciples whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And now Simon Peter, when he had heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was in that boat. The Bible said that he was naked. Now, why are you fishing with a bunch of adult grown men and you being sitting in a fishing boat naked as a jaybird? That makes no sense to me. But we have the spontaneity. We have the surprise. We have the short fuse. We have the temper. We have the mentality of a Simon Peter. I mean, bless God, he was bold, but he was also one that was a denier. We find Simon Peter, multitudes of scriptures written about him. Very, very little about Thomas, but a whole lot about Simon Peter. We want it to be all about us. Simon Peter said, Lord, I don't even know the man. I do not know the man. We see Simon Peter warming himself by the enemy's fire. There he was, Brother Robert, out there warming himself. I don't know who you're talking about. The Bible said his speech gave him away. He was cursing and swearing, trying the best to make it look like he wasn't a follower of Christ. But that's because some of them knew it was him. And for those three denials, the Lord asked him three times, Peter, do you love me?
Right.
Went on to pin down a couple books of the Bible for us. And I thank God for that, because in those books of the Bible, we have some beautiful passages of Scripture. But we find ourselves being more like Simon Peter than we do Thomas. But by the end of this message, I hope that you can say, man, I need a little bit more of what Thomas had. Not in the doubting, but in some of the other things. Look in verses number 24. The Bible said in verse number 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So where was he? What was he doing? We don't know that. We have no clue. So while Thomas was a deserter, if you will, everybody else is there and he's just deserted the whole band. He's left the whole band of followers. He was doubting. Don't doubt. But that you doubt, find the scripture support the measure of faith that you need beyond the doubt. Whenever I was struggling with the call to preach, one of the preachers that greatly helped me in my ministry early on was Brother Eddie Killian out of Rossville, Georgia, somewhere down in Dahlonega, Georgia area. I don't even know where Brother Eddie's at now. He's still pastoring down in somewhere in South Carolina. But Brother Eddie and I would eat together a lot of times. He was a pastor down in Boonville area when I was down there for so many years as postmaster, and we'd go eat a lot of days we'd go eat together. And he knew I was struggling with the call to preach, and he told me something, Brother Derek, I've never forgotten. He said, never undo in doubt what you commit to in faith. That's always stuck with me. So don't undo in doubt what you've committed to in faith. If you're saved by God's grace, and I see a lot of you in here that struggle with the doubt of your own salvation, don't let Satan do that to you. You're more than conquerors. Live in that victory, walk in that. And whenever Satan comes to you trying to cause you to have doubt about your salvation, doubt about this, take him back to the Word of God and get that thing nailed down for yourself. But anyway, I want you to flip back early into the chapter, still in the book of John, chapter number 11, and I want you to see some things concerning Thomas that I hope will move you beyond just being a deserted disciple. I want you to show up. And while you're here, I want you to get involved. Anybody in here ever get put on a ball team or something growing up and said, I'm on the ball team now. I just want to sit on the bench. Yeah. Whoever wants to be on a ball team? Ben, I can see y'all are the most competitive people I've ever seen. I saw Grace Ford take out the side on that hay bale thing y'all had, where everybody's on top, whoever's on, what y'all call that, king of the hill or something? Whoever's on top of the hay bale, everybody's trying to get them off, y'all are killing them. You remember that? You're ever shaking your head because you're probably the champion. Kayla, you're a beast. But whoever said, let me play this game, and then said, I just want to sit over here. Brother Potts, nobody wants to be on a baseball team and sit on the bench. I don't want to be on a softball team or a football team and just sit over there. Put me some pads on and a helmet. I want to hit somebody. I mean, I'm talking about hurting, Brother Steve. Put me in. I want to play, right? How many of you would ever want to join up with something and then not be a participant of that? I don't want to be that. I want to be involved. Why do you not want to be involved? Church seems like, Brother Kenny, the only place in the world people say, hey, I want to be a part of that. And when they get to be a part of that, they're birthed in through the womb of grace, Brother Tam. And then they sit down and say, here I am. Well, how about helping? No, I don't want to do that. Well, how about helping? No, I don't want to do that. Well, how about doing this? No, I don't want to do that. What do you want to do? Nothing. Just leave me alone. I just want to be here. Well, being here is a great thing. I love being a part of the body of Christ. I love being saved by God's grace. But I'm more than a participant. I want to be in the game. I don't want to just be a mere fan of Jesus. A fan sits up in the high stands and just waves at the race going around. I don't want to be a fan. I want to be a follower. I want to do something for the cause of Christ. And in the book of John chapter number 11, this is mostly noted for the raising of Lazarus, and you'll see that. But right in the middle of the story of the raising of Lazarus, look down at verse number 8. I'm going to read about 8 verses here because there's a neat little passage of scripture tucked right in the middle of this that concerns this man by the name of Thomas. Look what it said. His disciple, go back and catch it up, verses number 1-7. It talks about the man was sick. His name was Lazarus. Mary and Martha's there saying, hey, our brother's about to die or dead, and come to him. And anyway, the one we love is sick. And anyway, we go right down the middle of that. And his disciples saying, the Lord said, I'm going to go to Judea. Then he said, his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? What are the other disciples? Who said that? The Bible said his disciples. Brother Tim, I imagine that at that time the 12 of them are still band together. And the 12 of them are saying, Lord, they're wanting to stone you there. And you're going to go there and you're going to go back down there just because simply Mary and Martha want you to come down here. And you better rethink that thing, Lord, because they're going to kill you if you go that way. Brother Derek, to us, it seems almost pointless that they would even say that because they weren't going to stone him. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was going to be crucified. And see, he knew that, but they didn't, Brother Tim. He's not got any fear of somebody stoning him. He's not going to die that way. Well, how did you get those out of the book of Zechariah? How did you get those wounds in your hand and your feet? He said, I was wounded in the house of my friend. He knew what manner of death that he would die. The Psalm of the Cross, the 22nd Psalm, tells how he would die. But Brother Kenny, whenever you see that, them disciples are saying, Lord, they're going to stone you down there. You said, why'd you bring all that up? Because one of the 12, his name was Thomas. Look what he said. Keep reading. Jesus said, are not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there's no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto him, our friend Lazarus sleepeth not, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. Where is he going? He's going to where Lazarus is at. Why is he being questioned about that? Because in verse number 8, his disciples said, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and you're going to go back down there again. Here's what I'm getting to. Go down to verse number 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus. And I like that you don't worry about another Thomas being brought in. He said it back over in the 21st chapter of John, or 20th chapter of John, and he says it again here. And then said Thomas, which is called Didymus. If we were to take you back over there to the 20th chapter, the Bible said, and Thomas was not with the 12. In verse number 24, Thomas, one of the 12, which is called Didymus, was not with them. We're talking about the same man. I'm just bringing that to your light tonight. We're talking about Thomas, the disciple that was determined. You said, but I thought Thomas was the one that was a deserter. I thought that Thomas was one that was a doubter. He was, but Thomas was a determined disciple in this passage of scripture because of what he says. Look what he says. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, one of his fellow disciples, and look what Thomas said. Let us go. Let us also go that we may die with him. Now that sounds to me like somebody that's determined to go. He doesn't sound like Thomas the doubter. He doesn't sound like Thomas the deserter. He doesn't sound like one that's confused about the situation at hand. He said, hey, let's go. Even if we have to die with him, let us go. And that's why I say we need a little more Thomas. We need that determination. Lord, it might get hard along the way. Folks, do y'all realize, Brother Jerry, how hard it could get? Have y'all not seen the things going on in the world as of late? Christianity is under attack. I'm telling you, you attack a mosque and it hits all the mainstream media outlets. Go back and look at the church down in New Zealand that was attacked, the Muslim mosque in New Zealand where the Muslims were killed. Brother Tam, that splashed every news story and it was just purported for days and days and days and days. And even the New Zealand Prime Minister took a great big opportunity to have a gun grab out of it and ban all weapons and get them all back under the government control. You take a Sri Lankan church that called themselves Christmas or Easter worshipers, as they will call them, and brother, not even a bleep on the radar screen. Hardly makes the news. Why? Because those were the Christians. Those were the ones that called themselves Christians. Like I said, we need a whole lot more of Thomas's determination. Verse number 16, Thomas said, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Then when Jesus came, he found that they had laid him in the grave. He's going on down now to Lazarus to raise him from the dead. When others feared, at least Thomas was bold. Others were afraid as well, but Thomas was bold. I want to show you one more passage of scripture concerning that. Flip over to chapter number 14. Same book of John. I told you I'd rather you have a little more Thomas. Are y'all all right tonight? Do you realize that one of the most pointed questions that shows us the true and perfect pathway, Brother Tam, to heaven was mouthed by a man by the name of Thomas? Probably in all of the scriptures, in the totality of the entire 66 books of the Bible, Brother Derek, one of the most pointed and perfect questions in the entire Bible that tells us how to get to heaven is by the man by the name of Thomas. And yet we just read right through it and don't even realize who said it. We just remember Thomas, for he was a deserter. He wasn't there. We remember Thomas as a doubter. He didn't even believe. We told him that we had seen the Christ and he's resurrected. He showed up. Thomas didn't believe us. He's just an old doubter. Why? Because he's a deserter. They didn't realize how determined that he was. John chapter number 14. We would not have that perfect answer, Miss Becky, in that sixth verse. Read the sixth verse for me, somebody. Quote it for me. Y'all quote that thing all the time. All the preachers do. Brother Derek. Do you realize that that's one of the greatest answers to one of the greatest questions that was ever asked in the Bible? You say, well, what was the question? We started out that where the Lord was telling his disciples, I'm going away. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So enter the next question. Enter the next person. Who is the next? Who's the next person on your page? In the fifth verse of that same chapter that I just got through quoting, enter the picture. Who is it? It's Thomas. And Thomas asked the most perfect question. Thomas the determined. Thomas the doubter. Thomas the deserter. Now is Thomas the discerner. He said, Lord, if you're going away, I want to know where you're going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way. Look at the scripture in verse number 5. Thomas simply says these words. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas asked the most beautiful question of all the scriptures that tell us how to get to where the Lord is. Lord, we don't know where you're going. Where are you going? He's discerning the Lord's words there. He said, how can we know the way? He's asking a question. And to that question, he gets the most pointed answer, Brother Tam. It leaves no wiggle room for another religion. It leaves no wiggle room for another way into heaven. And here's what he said, Brother Derek. He said, I am the way. Megan, he didn't say, I am a way. Come up any way you want to. I'm one of those ways to heaven. No, Thomas the discerner said, Lord, if you've given us this course that you're going away, and this discourse tells us that you're going somewhere, Lord, where are you going, and how can we get there to be with you? The Lord said, Thomas, I am the way. He puts aside if there is an absolute truth. Brother Tim, society teaches us today there's no truth. Everything is a mess of muddled confusion. The Bible said God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. And he spoke that peace when he first come to them after the resurrection. That was one of the first things he did was speak peace to them. He comes in and says, peace unto you, or shalom. He said, peace be unto you. He said, I am the way. What was that next part?
The truth.
The truth. You want to wonder, you're wondering in your mind, is that true or is that false? Is that real or is that a fable? Is that fake or is that just a counterfeit or is that really the real deal? Measure it against God's word. You say, well, how should we measure it against this? If Jesus said that I am the way and I am the truth, how should you measure it against this? Go back to John. We're still in John. 1:1 says what? Y'all were not participating tonight. Go ahead. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does it say about 13 verses later? And the Word was made flesh, being Jesus, and dwelt among us. So if you want to know absolute truth, go to the source, go to the book. And when you go to the book, you're going to the man, you're going to the person, which is Jesus Christ. And who asked the question above all other questions? Thomas, the discerning disciple. He said, Lord, where are you going? And how can I know the way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How are you going to have life except that you have it through the Son? You're not going to, Brother Tim. You said, well, I thought I was going to just have my happy-go-lucky down here, one world around, one turn around the globe, but after it's all over, they're going to plant me somewhere. But ask God, I'm living eternally. Amen. Casey, I'm living eternally. Amen. Not just eternally, I'm living abundantly. Brother Steve, I got abundant life down here, and I'm living it. I love life. I do. I love it. And to think that we're going to get to live with Him eternally, Brother Tim. So we're going full circle here. You want to go through life known as a doubter, a deserter? You want to go through life being one that's disputing, always questioning? I wonder if that preacher said what he said was real. Get you a book. I do not discourage you from reading God's book. Get it and read it. There are people that do discourage you from reading it. Won't you be a determined disciple? You say, well, I can't be a disciple. Yeah, you can. What's a disciple? A disciplined follower. How are you going to get to be one of those? Get saved, get born again, get saved by God's grace. You could be a disciple. You could be a disciplined disciple of God, a determined. And then I want you to do this. Be a discerning disciple. You say, what's a discerning disciple? What is one who discerns? He weighs it out. Does the Bible not tell us, Brother Tam, to try the spirits? Is that right? Am I right or wrong, Brother Gene? Why? He said, try the spirits. Why? To find out whether they're of God or not. Brother Derek's up here quoting it for me. Try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. Discern them. Find out, is that real? Or is he going to give you a discerning spirit of that which is evil? The Bible said in the latter day, Brother Tam, that he would send them strong delusions that they would believe a lie and be damned. I don't want to be one deceived. I'm surely one that do not want to be damned. How am I going to get around that? Be a discerner of the Word of God. Understand it. I'm going back to the book of John, chapter number 20. Be bold. Be courageous. Be determined, as John said. Hey, let's go. Even if it costs us our lives, if we have to die up there. Without that single question from Thomas, we may have not have had the most definitive answers how to get to heaven. He said, how can we know the way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Two verses again. Verse number 24 and then verse number 26. Thomas, one of the 12, was not with him when Jesus came. I'll go ahead and get 25. The other disciples therefore said, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, hey, except I see his hands and his feet,
Except if I can see the prints of his nails and put my finger in the prints of his nails, thrust my hand inside. He said, I'm not believing it. I will not believe it. But after 8 days, full week later, Thomas was with them. The door was shut. That's important because the Lord just comes right in the midst. He had a body, Brother Tam, but he come right through that door. You said then he was just a spirit. He took care of that, didn't he, Brother Kenny, whenever he said, give me a piece of that honeycomb. Give me a piece of that fish. Wait, is he a spirit? He said, you ever seen a body? You ever seen a spirit take meat like I'm getting ready? Give me some of that soul food over here. That's what he did. He took bread, broke bread with him. He had a body, but he come right through that door. The door being shut, he walks right in the midst of them. And the Bible, let's clear this up. Go back up to verse number 17. This is the Lord and Mary's conversation. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. And saying to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. He tells Mary, don't you touch me. Don't you defile what I'm about to do to the mercy seat. Don't you touch me. But then we go right down here and he tells Thomas in verse number 27, Thomas, reach hither with thy finger and into my hands and reach hither thy hand to my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Why would he tell Mary not to touch him and then tell Thomas to touch him? Thomas didn't have to touch him. Thomas didn't touch him. Because look what the scripture says. Thomas just simply looked at him. In verse number 28, Thomas answered, said, my Lord and my God. Just being in his presence was enough for me. The night I got saved, Brother Troy, thank you for coming on in. But just being in his presence, Brother Kenny, was enough for me. The fact that he would touch me was just a blessing. The fact that he would save me was added to anything, any measure I could ever have, Miss Bell, with the fact that he would save a little old me. Folks, in my life, I'm ready, Brother Scott, Miss Macy, in my life, I've been a doubter about many things. I have. I've been a doubter about a lot of things. But I don't doubt my salvation. I asked Brother Chris something just the other day about the call to preach on his life. I was teasing him just a little bit because God had been working this message around in my heart. Chris is easy. He's very easy to talk to. He's probably one of my closest friends in this world. He knows it. And I think that's why I feel so close to him. But I said, Chris, are you even sure that you're called to preach? Are you even sure about that? You know what Chris's answer was? He said, I'm as more sure about that as I am my own salvation. I don't doubt my own salvation. I do not doubt God's touch on my life to preach his gospel. I don't doubt that I'm doing it right where I'm supposed to be doing it right now. I don't doubt any of that. Oh, I've doubted a lot of things, Brother Chris, but I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that with an eye of faith, I have seen the Lord. I do not doubt that this woman right here is the woman that I'm supposed to be married to until death do us part. I don't doubt that. I've got a lot of doubt about a lot of things, but I don't doubt some of these things in life. I just don't doubt it. They don't question my mind. But how much better off would I be if I would put aside the doubt of the other things? Just don't worry about it. Just put that aside and let God work it out. Don't desert my post like Thomas was missing in action, but be so determined to say, hey, Lord, if it costs me, I'm going with you. Ain't that what they said? The Jews said, they're going to stone you back there, Lord. Thomas said, hey, why don't we just go die with him? And then be a discerner of the words that God has put in our heart and in our lap and figure all this stuff out. Is this book true or is it not? Every word. You hit it the other night. Jot and tittle. You yike them old words. Why? Because they're biblical words. You said you believed every jot and every tittle in it. I believe it as well. I don't care if it's a period. There's no period. There's no comma. There's no mispronunciation. There's no words in there that's out of place or out of whack. I believe every bit of it. Amen. He did not tell us, Brother Tam, we would understand it all. But we're to believe it all. Brother Scott's got us a song tonight.